And I will be calling Jake to see if he's sleeping, is he dreaming? If he's dreaming, is he dreaming of me?
Hello, friend Skullhead.
Hey, Mr. Jake.
Oh, I'm not your friend?
No, it's that's a sign of respect. You respect your friends.
Mr.
Jake.
Mr. Jake was my father.
Mr. Jake was El Parasoso.
Hey, I got a head cold. It's pretty cool.
Awesome.
So that's why I'll be kind of gravelly and probably doing a lot of sniffing and occasional really loud sneezing into the microphone.
It's not all the cocaine, it's your head cold?
Yeah, well, it's probably both, to be fair.
Perhaps you should go to a head shop and buy a new head.
Huh. Apparently somebody's been using my Leatherman to cut, some, like, apple juice or something, because it's all sticky, and, well, that sucks. I'm fiddling with it here at my desk, is why I bring it up.
You're at the office?
That was your trip to the homelands, the father country.
Sweet Jesus, it's good to be home. It's still as hot and muggy as it is everywhere in the nation, apparently, but at least I have my own bed and shower and stuff. I don't know why I have my bed in the shower, but keeps me cool. And now I have, 200 pounds of tree branch in my yard, so that's good, too.
Cool. You gonna man up and get a chainsaw?
I think I'm just gonna go stab my neighbor. I think that's what I'm going to have to do.
You should make it ironic by whittling one of the branches down to a point and stabbing her with it.
Yeah, and then I can find out if she's a vampire or not. I'm guessing not. I'm guessing if you put her up on Am I a Vampire or Not, she would go over to the not side. Yeah, so there were pictures of this tree branch that had fallen from her tree into my yard, and it kind of looked like, oh, when I get home, I'll just kind of shove that out of the way and then eventually get rid of it. It's not. It's like a fucking piece of the world tree fell in my yard. Like, you know the tree that's behind Bilbo in the first Lord of the Rings movie? A huge chunk of that fell in my yard. Just something that's too big for me to move by myself. Just kind of
is
amazing.
Is that because you're a pussy or because it's really big?
No, it's really big. I mean, it's too big for a regular dude to move by himself.
I see. I mean, have you considered, like, using a hatchet to cut it into smaller pieces and moving them?
Yeah, I'm going to use the chainsaw to cut it into smaller pieces and then move it. I'm just kind of annoyed that it becomes my responsibility.
Yeah, your property, man. What if it was like a solid gold branch? Then you'd be like, no, nope, it's on my property. It's mine.
Yep.
You gotta take the bad with the good, you know? Like, if you had a metal detector and it's like you find, oh, great, now here's this, turn the mic on, or...
What kind of an idiot would forget to turn the mic on, Jake? Come on.
Was that what you did?
Yeah, then sue me for assuming it would start up in the same state that it was in which it was shut down. Okay, so then there was some silence there. We were talking about neighbors and talking about stuff.
God, I don't even want to know what kind of shape the archive file for this is going to be in. Send me whatever you got.
It'll start a new file every time, so I can strip out the fail.
Yeah. You know, however much of it we can salvage, we should. We do so few radios anymore. We got to get back in the swing. We got to get back into practice. We got to get back on the saddle.
We gotta get back in black.
Wow, I'm having a hard time not sneezing and blowing my nose all over the place. This sucks. It's like I feel fine, but I just have a head cold. And that's like the worst thing, right? When some bullshit symptoms are slowing you down, but not, you don't actually feel bad enough to like feel like laying in bed until it goes away.
Yeah, so you can't justify being lazy, but you don't feel like working either.
Yeah, I mean, well, I do feel like working. It's just that I'm, you know, prevented from doing so as efficiently as I could be by the fact that I have to just constantly blow my nose or pause to sneeze and like, just make sure that I don't drop a nut when I sneeze. So it's like this whole production where I have to like put my hands out and like kind of, you know, get into like a nice solid stance, like I was gonna shoot a golf with my feet as far apart as my shoulders, and kind of make sure that I'm balanced, and then have it like here it comes, and then bring one of my hands to my mouth just in time, so I catch the sneeze and whatever snotty mouth or nose without sacrificing my balance stance. It's like a kung fu sneezing technique that I learned.
I feel I should tell you that we were disconnected for a bit there.
Again?
Yeah. I don't know why that would happen. Perhaps somebody was helpfully picking up the streams because there was silence, and then they forgot to stop automatically kicking us off. So now we have a good file that starts with you saying snot rockets and can continue cool. for the rest of the show.
So I'm just going to keep saying snot rockets. Mm-hmm.
Snot rockets in flight, afternoon delight.
Yeah. Adam Lissagor proposed a new 5-second rule where if you sneeze and blow a snot rocket onto the floor, you have 5 seconds to pick it up and put it back in your nose.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't think I like that at all.
Which I thought was pretty funny.
Okay, I'm just going to keep Sam on top of everything so I can see if it stops streaming, and I'll...
Is Sam your mistress? You're going to keep her on top of everything?
No, my secretary.
Your dude. Your what?
Well, if you're going to keep somebody on top of everything, wouldn't it be like your admin, your admin assistant, your office manager?
Your admin assistant? Oh, I see.
Secretary.
Named Sam. Sam is actually an acronym for Secretary Automat.
Doo-dah, doo-dah.
And you don't know whether to call him Matt or Sam. So you call him... His last name is Hane, so you call him Sawan.
Yeah. I want to name my kids like Siobhan and Sawan. The Siobhan that's spelled S-I-O-B-H-A-I-N or whatever.
Huh. That one at least kind of makes sense. The Sawan is like... What... Like, there's no, like, at least Siobhan, you know, like, that could be French, right? But there is no language in which M-H is pronounced W.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other word like that. Like, what language is that? Is that, like, some Celtic bullshit?
Yeah. Which they use all the same letters as we do, but they don't make the same sounds, which kind of screws things up.
They're all just, like, random combinations of consonants that should just be represented by single other consonants.
Yeah. And at least with, like, Cyrillic or something, you're looking at backwards R's and upside down N's and shit, so you know. But there's
right, no, like when you're playing Tetpnig.
Yeah. Tetpnig?
Yes. Yeah, the Russian, the Cyrillic name of Tetris looks like T-E-T-P-N-G.
Oh, right.
Which, you know, it's fun to think of a game of Tetpnig. So speaking of games, I've been playing some StarCraft II, the single player campaign. I think I'm almost done with it. It's pretty fucking good.
No.
I had a really stressful weekend because I knew I needed to work on Item of the Month stuff, but I kept like I'd work on it for like a half an hour and be like, I should play another StarCraft II mission. And then I'd be like, okay, fuck, I gotta stop playing StarCraft 2 and start working on the Item of the Month again. So, like, go and go. It benefited from that extra day of, like, sort of balanced discussion in dev, but it's, I don't know. It's like I look back on the weekend as, like, a haze, and it's like I should have had a good weekend because I did a lot of playing StarCraft 2, which I enjoyed, but I was also just, like, I felt stressed out the entire weekend because I was, like, you know, just kind of randomly procrastinating. But the one day that I went into the office and I was like, all right, I'm just going to work on the Item of the Month, I went in and I just lived like it was just blood from a stone. Like, I just couldn't. I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't make anything happen. Today I organized a bunch of post-Comic-Con stuff and I cleaned my office. So my hope is that I'm going to go in tomorrow morning totally fucking sick. Which, fuck. It's like I finally have time at home and a regular work schedule for a couple of weeks before this, like, backpacking trip, and I get a fucking cold. It's better that than during Comic-Con or during the backpacking trip.
Yeah.
But still, man, fucking cold. How does that work? I forget what I was talking about. I also played some of the Lego Universe beta.
Oh, how was that?
It plays like a Lego Star Wars game, but with way, way less polish and way more latency and way more other people getting in your way while you're trying to do shit.
Are there a bunch of people building dongs out of Legos?
No, because everything has to be vetted through a moderation team, so you never... Like, my goal is to... Because I think you can make things that actually move around and respond to physics. So my goal is to make a thing that, like, transforms into a cock and balls that I show to the moderator team in a non-cock and balls state.
Oh, I see.
Right?
What state would be a non-cock and balls state?
Detroit.
Delaware? I don't know.
Detroit's not a state. It's a state of mind.
Yeah, if you can have a New York state of mind. But New York is also a state. And a steak.
New York and strip. A city. And a dolls. So, like, New York, Goo Goo, Dresden.
Panama.
Wait, Panama dolls? Or you're saying that was a palindrome?
Yeah, it wasn't a very good palindrome.
New York, Goo Goo, Dresden, a canal.
Nerd. Don't get me started on the Dresden dolls again. Don't get me started on the Dresden dolls.
I was completely indifferent to them until I remembered that they did that fucking coin-operated boy song, and I'm like, yep, hate that bullshit.
Yep. The singer of that song is currently boning Neil Gaiman.
Well, getting boned by Neil Gaiman. Yeah. Did they get married?
I think so. They either just did or are about to.
I mean, she's probably cool. That's the sense that I get about Amanda Palmer, is that she's probably cool. I mean, the fact that she makes a bunch of work that I don't like does not make her any less of a, like, person that I think is awesome for actually putting themselves out there and making stuff, right? And, I mean, clearly she's got a following. Clearly she's, like, doing stuff that people want.
She... So. And the admittedly shallow impression that I get is of somebody who's trying too hard. Like, I think it would be exhausting to talk to her because it would just be about how awesome ukuleles are and... I don't know, like, somebody would be trying hard to be avant-garde and hip and... Yeah, instead of somebody who's genuinely interesting.
I mean, how do you, like... So I feel like the way that she approaches things is probably pretty similar to the way that, like, OK Go approaches things, and we like them, right? I'm not, like, crazy excited about OK Go's music, you know? Like, the song in Rock Band is, like, you know, it's a catchy song or whatever. But I don't think that I would ever sit and listen to an OK Go album, but I'm really glad that they exist. And, like, if there was some way that I could give them some money, I mean, I would probably go to an OK Go concert and buy an OK Go shirt, even though I wouldn't necessarily, like, all other things being equal, buy an OK Go album.
Oh.
You know, like, that Rube Goldberg video was really awesome, but I don't remember anything about the song. Because it was just kind of, I mean, I remember it being kind of a forgettable song.
It's been on the radio two or three times here and on the little indie radio station, and it's good.
I wish I had a little indie radio station.
Radio is just a wasteland in Phoenix. Driving around in a car that didn't have any... There's like a collection of scratch-to-fuck CDs in my car-in-law. And nothing else as far as music goes, so we ended up listening to the radio and decrying the state of it.
Yeah, as I recall, it's pretty terrible. There was, like, I don't know. I always feel like there used to be a good radio station, and now there's not.
101.5 was pretty good, but, I mean, they used to be good because they used to play songs from the 90s.
Well, okay. I mean, there... So I feel like here, there are three like Ranchero stations for every English language station.
Like the lower end of the dial is all Spanish Christian and Spanish Christian.
Yeah. The Spanish Christian I can't tell, except, you know, occasionally instead of like Sabado, 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 it's Jesus Cristo, Jesus Cristo, Jesus Cristo.
Jesus Cristo and Domingo, Domingo, Domingo. En la iglesia, Jesus Cristo, Domingo.
Yeah, it's because it's the Jesus monster truck rally.
Yeah.
Jesus built my monster truck. It's a love affair. Mainly Jesus and 5,000 cars crushed. I'm sad that I tried to go to a monster truck rally and failed.
How did you fail?
I don't remember. I remember going to a monster truck rally, but then I remember we didn't end up, like, maybe they sold out or something.
Huh.
Yeah, it was sad. I even bought some special camouflage pants for the monster truck rally.
Did you tell him, look, you don't have to sell me even an entire seat, because I only need the edge?
Yeah. I tried. I tried to get them to let me use the edge of somebody else's seat.
But they were,
you know what I do like, though? I like watching a demolition derby. That is something that I will go and do every year at the state fair.
I thought you were telling
me how
late.
Well, it's not something I go out of my way for, but if I go to the state fair and I see, oh, there's a demolition derby at a time when it's feasible for me to, like, stay until then I'll totally stay and watch a demolition derby.
Huh.
They're not usually that interesting, but, like, they could be.
Sooner
something
or later.
Awesome might happen, you know?
So it's like watching the dude juggling knives because you're waiting for him to slip up.
Yeah. So I upgraded my iPhones.
You have the iPhone 4?
Got the iPhone 4, and I feel so fulfilled and cool now. It changed everything again. It is really, really, really nice, and I really like it a lot.
Did you, when you upgrade the phone, do you get to keep all of your apps?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's...
Yep.
That's reasonable.
Kind of you just, almost you, unexpected. Like, you basically, like, you go to the store and they're like, okay, go plug this into your computer, and when you plug it into your computer, it's like, hey, we've detected a new phone activated in your name. Do you want to restore from a backup of your old phone? And you'd be all, yes.
Nice.
And, you know, I knew I was going to do that, so I backed it up right front. So, yeah, it's just like text message history is all still there. That is a thing that I fucking love, and I wish that I had had the entire time I'd been using text messages, is, like, just an archive of every text message sent and received. I'm kind of an information pack rat, trying not to get run over by a series of trucks on the information superhighway. I'm like Frogger. I'm an information frog, trying to cross the information superhighway and then the information river, with, like, looking out for information crocodiles, but hopping onto information logs and being careful about oscillating amphibious information turtles. Like the turtles, I wonder if the turtles in Frogger are the same as the turtle in Logo.
How about the turtles in Time?
It's a digital turtle. What about the turtles all the way down? Do you suppose that, like, turtle oral sex fetish porn is called Turtles All the Way Down?
I don't know who's watching that. Maybe that dude who wrote the Roy Orbison and Kling film thing.
Oh, yeah. With his terrapin Jetta. Those stories are pretty good. I wish that guy was a millionaire because of those stories. But at the same time, if you said, hey, you should give that guy $1 million for writing those stories, I'd be like, I don't have $1 million, and even if I did, I wouldn't give that to that guy.
What about
so really...
What
my
like
math is just writing checks my ass can't cash.
Well, like, if they said we want you to be one of 100,000 people to give him $10, would you do it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I won a contest. I'm one of only 100,000 people who get the opportunity to give the Roy Orbison and Kling film guy $10.
That kind of sounds like the way that things work at Comic-Con. Like, congratulations, you've won the lottery, and now you have a chance to buy this thing from us.
Yeah, you know, every time I go to Comic-Con, it convinces me, or it reminds me how much I hate crowds and or anything popular. Like, any activity that's popular. Like, I don't, you know, it's like, oh, fucking Star Wars, I hate it because it's popular, right? But, like, I don't like going like out to restaurants or bars on weekend nights when they're busy, right? Just like I would just rather go places when they weren't crowded, because a place that is not crowded is just nicer than a place that is crowded, right?
Gotcha.
You can hear, you can get a drink, you can get off my lawn, all of those things. And fucking Comic-Con, man, it's like, oh, hey, cool, there's some neat toys, and maybe I want to buy one of those. Like, the woman who was, like, the sort of, like, run business that we arranged the new condo that we stayed in this year with, like, super last minute, she was like, oh, hey, my husband found out that they were selling this, like, Hot Wheels Ecto-1 there. Would you mind picking him one up if you get a chance? That'd be super awesome. And I was like, oh, I'll go check. And then I went and I'm like, oh, wow, that looks really cool. I should buy one of those. And then I went over to the thing and it was like, nope, sold out. If you wanted one, you should have waited in line. You know, you should have camped out Wednesday night to wait in line for it. They didn't actually say that. I probably could have gotten one if I had found out about it before, like, Sunday. And I guess it diminishes the value of a Comic-Con exclusive if they don't sell out of them. I don't know. Are we okay?
Yeah, we're fine.
Are we streaming? What are you typing so furiously? Are you cybering with someone?
We're streaming like demons. I'm arguing that somebody posted a picture of Amanda Palmer and Neil Gaiman in which Amanda Palmer is topless with her hands behind her head. And the first thing that I see is, oh, and then boobs. And then the second thing is, ugh, shave your fucking armpits.
Where's this picture?
Yeah, and now I'm being called a Neanderthal. Well, it's linked to the radio chat.
You're being called a Neanderthal. I mean, I disagree with you. Like, armpit hair does not bother me on a lady. No, that is entirely an innocuous amount of armpit hair. You know, I don't. Why are you having a conversation with people in chat instead of talking on the radio?
Because I can't get a word in edgewise with you and your edgewise wording.
Except when I keep pausing and noticing all the silence.
Are you enjoying the silence? Is that a thing?
All I ever wanted, all I ever needed, was hair in your armpits. But then you covered it with hair.
Hair is very unnecessary. It's just weird having... And people are making the same fucking argument, like... Men, oppressive male society prefers women to shave all their hair so that they'll look prepubescent. Like, nuh-uh. Because I prefer women do not have hair down under so that I can go down on them without flossing. I like them to not have hair in their armpits because it's fucking gross.
I mean, do you think that your armpit hair is fucking gross?
Yeah, and I shave it.
Whoa, really?
Yes.
Okay, you got problems, man.
Yep, but having a whole bunch of hair in my armpits is not one of them.
Wow, you are a fucking weirdo. You're a weirdo. You're a weirdo pervert, Mr. Scully. Do you shave your legs?
No.
Why not? That hair's gross. You wouldn't let a woman get away with having hairy legs.
I actually don't care if women have hairy legs, as long as they shave their fucking armpits.
Huh.
Yeah.
See, that's weird, because leg hair really bothers me. Like, bushy, like, visible leg hair on women really bothers me a lot. The armpit hair I don't care about. And, you know, like, that whole infantilizing thing, like, I think that's just bullshit.
Yeah, I think
that in a vacuum, women with less hair are more attractive than women with more body hair.
And not because they look like children, but because they look like women.
Because they look like women, yeah. I mean, they're more differentiated from
men. And I guess there's, you know, because we've been brainwashed by years of male-dominated oligarchy, whatever, to think of body hair as masculine, I guess. But
right.
I don't know. Like, if you're looking at a picture of someone who has, like, wide hips and huge tits, and somebody saying that you like them shaved because you're imagining they're a prepubescent girl, like, yeah. It's stupid. I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, like, if women were sort of regularly encouraged or forced by men to have their tits removed, then maybe that argument would hold some weight. I don't know. Like, on the like, pubic grooming thing, like, I think it's...
I see, like, I prefer to see what's going on down there and be able to stick my tongue there. That's all.
Well, which, you know, the hair doesn't really stop you. It does make it less pleasant, I guess.
It ups the difficulty level.
It does, and it's definitely, like, easier to have sex with someone the less pubic hair that they have.
Truth.
You know, just in terms of, like, I don't know.
Chicks who shave are totally easy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, clearly, a girl who shaves her pubes is only doing it to please men, and so what else can she do to please men? Let them fuck her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I knew that I could count on you to take the trouble I was getting into and deflect it onto yourself.
Yeah.
Alright, now I'm sad. I got an email about pre-ordering the Scott Pilgrim vs. the World little video game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on the goddamned PlayStation Network and nowhere else.
Huh.
Did you see it at the people playing it at con?
I didn't. From what I've seen, like, just commercialized, it looks like a kind of a standard, like, Super Nintendo graphics level beat 'em up, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess I like a beat 'em up every once in a while, but it's, like, definitely not my favorite kind of game.
No, but I like Scott Pilgrim, and I enjoyed when I was a kid playing the Ninja Turtles game.
Yeah.
And that's
what the Ninja Turtles game was pretty good, but it, like, you know what, I think I kind of burned myself out. Like the good beat-em-ups that I remembered from the arcade, although, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, or like a month ago, we went over to our animator friend's house, and he's got a MAME cabinet, and we played through both of the, those four-player Dungeons & Dragons arcade games that they made in, like, 94, 95, which are just beat-em-ups.
Right.
At a core level with a veneer of Dungeons and Dragons on them. That, you know, they had some, like, exploration elements, which was kind of neat. There were a lot of, like, hidden rooms with treasures and stuff you could get, and, like, you know, a lot of extra moves and stuff. But I don't know. In general, I feel like that I have a really hard time with them because of my, like, sort of lack of spatial reasoning. Like, I get that you need to be lined up with the guys in order to hit them, but what I can't bring myself to do is line up my feet with their feet. Like, I'm always just trying to put my sword over them on the screen, which is, you know, frequently means that they're several rows behind me.
Right.
Right? And it just kind of bothers me. I feel like I do a lot of, I waste a lot of blows. I also waste a lot of blow, because I'm constantly reenacting the scene with Bronson Pinchot from True Romance, where he, like, opens a bag of cocaine while he's driving in a convertible, or whatever happens.
Yeah.
And so there's exploded cocaine all over his face. It's like egg on his face when the cop arrives.
Oh.
It's like eggs and coke.
And the cop's like, "Looks like you blew a seal." And he's like, "No, it's just cocaine."
Yeah. I was at the good old Outback Steakhouse last night having a dinner, and it's weird. The Outback Steakhouse in my neighborhood is, like, it's one of the only places in the neighborhood with a bar, and so it has become the neighborhood bar.
Huh.
It has, like, regulars, and you know, it is very much like a neighborhood bar kind of vibe around the bar at this, like, just fucking, like, chain restaurant. And it's very strange to me. But every time I talk to anybody about it, I'm like, you know, it seems weird that this place has, like, bar regulars, and they're like, yeah, there's nowhere else in this neighborhood to drink. And I guess that's true.
I don't know, but I could see, like, sitting at a bar and thinking, you know, it would be great if I could also have a steak while I was at the bar.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, it's just, like, I guess it would be a little weirder, and I would find it a little more distasteful if it was at, like, a restaurant that I didn't like. You know, if, like, Applebee's was the neighborhood bar, that would suck. And I feel like for a lot of people, there is effectively no difference between Outback Steakhouse and Applebee's, right? Like, I think of, like, Applebee's and TGI Fridays and stuff as these places that are horrible, whereas I think of, like, Outback and Olive Garden and Red Lobster as restaurants that are totally acceptable and that I eat at regularly, right? Like, I just don't feel the same disdain for myself eating at Olive Garden than I would eating at, like, Chili's. Uh-huh. Even though there is basically no difference in terms of level of quality between those things. There are certain things that I associate with the, like, hey, wacky shit on the walls. I'm going to act real friendly when I'm your waiter kind of place. You know?
I think there's also something about the, like, the ones that are just serving your basic American cuisine and, like, the wacky specials that nobody wants and then wacky drinks that nobody wants. And like, the gimmick of Olive Garden is that they serve vaguely Italian food, and so they don't have to do anything wacky with it.
I guess that's true. And, I mean, you know, I also love Joe's Crab Shack, which has got super crazy shit nailed to the walls all over the place, and I don't know why that doesn't bother me. What I think it comes down to is if I like the food, then I can tolerate a lot of bullshit in the decor and atmosphere.
Sure.
And if I don't, which, fucking, there is nothing good at Applebee's.
That is true.
Like, there is just not a single good thing on the menu at Applebee's. Like, what the fuck? Why do you... I was, like, a customer of Applebee's fairly regularly for, you know, a year or so when I was younger, because there was, like, this sort of, like, happy hour tour of Prescott that you could do where you basically, it was always happy hour if you just moved from place to place.
Hmm.
So it's like you'd start out at Applebee's where they had, like, giant beers for, like, $2 or whatever. And then you'd do that until, like, 7. And then you'd go eat somewhere. And then you'd get, like, the first happy hour at Coyote Joe's where all the drinks were 2-for-1. And then you'd leave for some other happy hour at some other bar in between the two happy hours at Coyote Joe's. And then back to Coyote Joe's until close where everything was 2-for-1. I think that was where I first really embraced my alcoholism. Because I did that a whole bunch of times, and thinking back on it now, there is no way to do it without having 10 drinks.
Right.
Yeah. And boy, was I not packing on the pounds back then. I had my youthful figure.
Were you walking to all of these things?
No, I was driving.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's another awesome part of that. It just got safer and safer as the night progressed, as I became more and more invulnerable to harm.
Oh, so the Minty Giant says if you don't like the friendly waiters and waitresses, you should go to Dick's Last Resort. But that's never going to happen, for me at least. Is it Dick's Last Resort?
Didn't we hang out at Dick's Last Resort at one point last year at Comic-Con?
I never did, because I know that the gimmick is that they have the rude waitresses, and I don't care that that's supposed to be funny. It just bugs the shit out of me.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Wasn't there a place where they throw bread at you?
That's the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, the toast.
But that's all the food you get, so you should probably just...
I keep forgetting about... So what was your... what I was going to say was, at Wootstock, Will Wheaton told the story about losing his Rocky Horror virginity. What did they do to you the first time you saw it?
Pretty much nothing. I borrowed your leather jacket, if you'll recall, and dressed as Eddie.
Okay.
And so they seemed to enjoy that, and they just drew a V on my forehead, and everybody had to say a pledge. But I mean, they were more interested in, like, grabbing the hot girls and making them, like, go down on a banana with a condom on it, that kind of thing. So I think it was just by virtue of me clearly being a giant nerd, it wouldn't have been as much fun as it was to kind of sexually play around with a girl instead.
I just got stood up in a big line of people, and then the whole theater shot us with squirt guns.
Huh.
And they yelled things about how we were virgins. The group of people that I went with just fucking sold my ass out.
Yeah, that's kind of the nature of the beast, though.
That's what you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I cannot think of anything less arousing than a girl going down on a banana with a condom on it.
Right. Without the condom, ooh, Bob.
Well, without the condom, it would be better. Right. If it wasn't a banana, like...
But that's you know, that's true for just about any sex act. Without the condom. You know, it's bad.
Yeah. Like... a blowjob with a condom, you might as well not get a blowjob. And at blowing a banana, like, what? I don't know, man. Maybe a sausage would be better.
Right.
Like a Vienna sausage. That way I could imagine it was me getting a blowjob.
Mm.
With a banana, it's like, I... Yeah, like anybody's dick is that big.
It's like I can't match that action.
Yeah.
Depends on the banana, you know.
Especially after you peel it. My penis, I mean, it's not nearly as big as...
And you're not supposed to eat the peel, though. Actually, if you need to peel your penis to do anything, you should probably wash it more frequently. I'm just going to put that out there.
All right.
You know what else I'm going to put out there? My penis.
So Twitter was down earlier when I tried to... when I try to get some Twitter questions up in this bitch. Ugh. Sorry about my voice.
There's more Twitter. The Twitter's up now.
Is it?
Yes.
Has anybody actually sent us stuff?
They asked us if we had a good time at Comic-Con. You probably covered that on the Thursday show.
Yeah, I think any of the things that were sent in after... My what weird. Soren Trigg says, what are the odds that it would end for the same basic reason twice? What is that even talking about?
The world?
I don't I have no idea what that was in response to. It was 38 minutes ago. What are the odds that it would end for the same basic reason twice?
The Choose Your Own Adventure? Does it end with...
I don't know. It was a reply. Yeah. There are some fundamental limits to Twitter as a conversational medium, yeah. Which is why I don't think that it should be used as a conversational medium.
No, it's entirely a one-way medium, I think.
I like Chris Remo, the Idle Thumbs guy, but I can't stand... reading his Twitter, because his Twitter is 90% replies to people when you can't see what the fuck they said.
Yeah.
Which is... Yeah. Which is why, you know, we just sort of have an institutional policy which Rift fucked up our 100% record of never replying to anybody. Ugh, Jesus Christ. Do I regret telling Rift to be more active on the Twitter? I have to punch that dude. Right in the dick.
And they'll be like, don't punch me in the dick, you guys.
So how is your Arizona vacation post Comic Con?
We spent 3 days in Phoenix in Mesa at Zelaya's house. That was pretty awesome. She got a very cute house. I was hoping you would come over after we'd had our Cornish pasties, because I commented that it was like a miniature Boozer Bear house, and you wondered if there were miniature LED lights and, you know, miniature decks of cards that are hard to play with. And uh-huh. She had bought Boozer Bear a miniature deck of cards that are hard to play with at Comic-Con, uh-huh. So I wanted to show it to you and be like, check it out. Funny. Things are funny.
Dope. That would have been pretty funny.
Yep.
Yeah. Fucking Boozer Bear's house, man. Fucking non-standard decks of cards. F that noise.
I did like the waterproof cards for playing by the pool. Not the pool at Boozer Bear's house, because there wasn't one, but... Like, in general, right. Like, kicking back poolside, playing cards with people. It was nice
to have. I'm not interested in that. What if you drop your cards in the pool? They're fine, because they're waterproof.
Yeah, they're made of plastic, you know. You just
but then they're in the pool. Is it like, do they float?
Yes.
So you could actually play cards on the surface of the water. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Until somebody fucked your game all up. You like
with a cannonball?
Game of poker called on account of, yeah, waves.
Oh, Jake, you missed what I said prior about Idle Thumb, says Soren Trigg. It is ending. I guess Idle Thumbs are stopping or something?
Is it? Maybe I missed an announcement about that. Maybe it's ending because Steve Gaynor got a job for some other company and is moving away from San Francisco.
Huh.
Like Nick Brecken did. Well, that'll make me sad. Let's see. Should we do some radio, Bugbear?
Yeah, let's hop over to there. So, yeah.
Terry on Very Late had said, the Silver Keg mentions a stake through the heart killing more than just vampires. Is that from My Best Friend is a Vampire? A great example of fun, campy 80s flicks.
You know, I remember that movie and kind of remember it sort of fondly, I guess. But I was thinking of, there's a Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode where she talks about using a stake through the heart and says, Buffy, that's not a vampire, and so you'd be surprised how many things that works on. And, you know, it's just kind of true that all of the methods for killing a vampire would also kill a dude. Now, I guess with a werewolf, like, if you shoot them in the foot with a silver bullet, presumably it kills them. But a vampire, you know, yeah, well, for varying, you know, for certain types of werewolf, I guess. Depending on the lore. Like, but I think the silver is supposed to be like a poison that if it gets into their bloodstream, they're toast. But for a vampire, like cutting off their head, lighting them on fire, putting a stake through the heart, that's pretty much going to work for everybody.
Forcing them to cross a running stream.
And, or if you're in Let the Right One In, making them come into your apartment without inviting them.
Oh, weird. Did that do something where she started, like, bleeding? He started bleeding?
No, it was the girl. She started bleeding from her ears and nose and eyes until he invited her retroactively.
Huh. But it wasn't a girl. It was a guy.
And Let the Right One In?
Yeah.
No, the little vampire girl.
The vampire is male.
The little vampire girl.
It's male. In the story, the vampire is male.
Which story?
In Let the Right One In. It is like a eunuch.
The movie Let the Right One In?
There is the scene, even in the movie, there is the scene where the protagonist kid sees the vampire, like, changing clothes, and the crotch is like this massive scar.
Whoa, there went Jake. There went everything. Okay. Wow. I wonder if Comcast is punishing me for cutting my cable TV.
Hello.
Hello.
Was it just Skype that failed, or was it Skype and Sam and everything?
It was Skype and Sam. Some kind of weird hiccup. The weird thing is I didn't... The last time the streams dropped, I didn't lose you.
Huh.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Anyway, I don't know at what point we got disconnected, but I was talking about how that vampire is a dude.
It's a little girl in the movie.
It's not.
It's
the character in the movie is not female.
She's a little girl. She's played by a little girl and is in fact
right,
a little girl.
Right, the character is played by a female actor, but the right. character is not female.
I don't believe that that's true.
There is the scene where you see a giant mass of scars where the girl's vagina would be if it was a girl. Like, in the book and in the movie, like, it is... The fiction is that it was, like, a eunuch that was made into a vampire. It's like... hyper-androgynous, but right. The character is male.
Oscar, a bullied 12-year-old, dreams of revenge. He falls in love with Ellie, a peculiar girl. She can't stand the sun or food, and to come into a room, she needs to be invited.
Right. He thinks that it's a girl, but it's not.
That may be in the book, but it's not in the film at all.
It is in the film. Okay, so how do they get away with showing a 12-year-old girl's vagina if it's a 12-year-old girl?
I just figured that she was not human and didn't have human genitalia, but... For every intent and purpose of this film, she's a girl. Why would you cast a female actor to play the character if she's not a girl in the movie?
I think her being prepubescent is deliberate.
Okay.
Right. I'm just saying, what you can't show a little girl's vagina, right? And it was not a vagina. I mean, there is a scene that is explicitly designed to say, hey, check out how there's not a vagina there.
But there's not balls. There's in fact
a mass of scars from a penis and balls being cut off.
Or from... that's... Yeah. If you're going to go around going, remember that scene in Let the Right One In where the dude gets invited into the apartment and everybody's going to go, the little girl? No, the guy. Everybody is going to look at you like you've grown another head. If you want to go catchy on that, go for it. But it's a girl.
But it's not, though. I mean, is it a girl in The Crying Game? Because, in a dress and dudes want to fuck her for the whole movie. Is it a girl?
Played by...
Is it reasonable to say, when the girl in The Crying Game showed her dick? That guy in The Crying Game. I mean, granted, it was played by a man, so there's, that slight angle being different, but,
That character is also a man. It's important to the plot of the movie that character is a man. It is not important to the plot of Let the Right One In that it's some sort of boy with his junk cut off, and it's played by a girl as a girl, dressed as a girl, acting like a girl. So she's a girl.
As a girl. The androgyny is played up and important.
Except that she wears pink sweaters and shit and has long curly hair and is a little girl, for fuck's sake.
It is weird to me that you're just choosing to ignore this fundamental thing about it and tell me that I'm wrong for thinking about the plot of the movie the way that the plot of the movie actually is.
Except the plot of the movie is this little boy falls in love with this little girl who's a vampire.
It's not, though.
Nowhere is it stated in the movie.
Why is there a scene where it shows you that the vampire does not have female genitals?
Or male genitals to demonstrate that the vampire is not human.
Were they just lying?
There is no lying because there's nothing said. I remember a scene where he, sees her changing or something, and there's this, something that doesn't look like human genitalia there, and I figured that was the point. And not having read the book, I didn't know that they had changed it from being a eunuch to being a little girl.
They didn't. It's still a eunuch in the movie.
How is it a eunuch in the movie?
Because you see the scars from its dick being cut off.
You saw the scars from its dick being cut off.
In an explicit scene that is about the fact that the whole time it has not been a girl, but an androgynous child vampire who was originally a boy.
You see androgynous children who are supposed to be a boy everywhere.
Mr. Skullhead.
The movie is about a little girl who's a vampire. The tagline for the movie, as it was marketed, Ellie is 12 years old. She's been 12 for over 200 years, and she just moved in next door. In the film, she's a girl. In the remake, okay, she's a girl.
You're just wrong.
Except for the fact that the people who made the film seem to agree with me.
Except for the part where they show you that she is not a girl.
They don't show they you that she is not a girl. They explicitly
show you that she is not a girl by letting you look between her legs and seeing that there are no girl parts there.
Or boy parts. They show you that she is not someone that this kid can have sex with. Yeah. That she is not human. That, you know, when I saw that scene, that's how it played. And then, you know, everything that's...
Okay, so does it matter, then, that in the book, which the film is a faithful adaptation of in every other regard, it's a boy? You're saying they just changed it for the movie?
Yes.
And all the evidence that the movie gives that they're actually sticking to the plot of the book means something different. That's what you're saying.
The two-second scene that you're talking about is all the evidence? I'd say in the face of her being referred to as a female character throughout all the promotional material for the movie,
because kind of trumps that two-second scene. They didn't want to spoil the fundamental, like, sort of weird, creepy twist of the entire thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry, dude, it's not there.
They overdubbed the actress's lines because they wanted a more masculine voice.
Now, what you're looking for is... I mean, this started because you were correcting me because I said...
Because you're... Because you are girl who, wrong. You are just wrong about the plot of the movie.
In the movie, she is a little... Weird. In the movie, she's a little girl. And I said, when the little girl won't come in... Oh, you mean the little boy? Like, no, the
because
little girl.
It's a Because boy.
On the poster, she's a girl. The in the tagline, she's a girl. A in the boy. Plot synopsis, the she's a girl. Boy. She's a
Man,
girl.
You're doing nothing for your arguments against, like, explicit gender. That character was born with a dick.
That character is a female character played by a female person.
The character is a male character played by a little girl.
Sure it is. Except for the not being any evidence of that and with them talking about...
Okay, so why are you just not paying attention to the fact that it is explicitly spelled out in the book?
Because
right? Why would they change it from the book and then have a scene that is about nothing but that character's genitals?
I wouldn't call it a scene. I'd call it... I remember what you're talking about. And I remember going, huh, something weird going on below the belt there. That must, you know, that's got to be another thing that's weird about vampires.
So what you're saying is that rather than going with the book's interpretation, which is that that character was originally male and is now a eunuch, you're just making up some shit about how vampires have fucked up genitals, and so they can't have sex. You're insisting that you are right by adding something that by just making up something about the cosmology of this world, as opposed to looking at the explanation that the book gives and assuming that the people making the movie read the fucking book.
And I'm assuming that in all of the promotional material for the movie, Ellie is a little girl, blah, blah, blah.
Because it would be a spoiler. In none of the promotional material for The Crying Game did they say that the main character falls in love with a dude. Because that would have ruined a fundamental core sort of mindfuck aspect of the movie.
See, I watched that movie like and enjoyed it without knowing that at all, because I don't think it's germane to the film at all. Because I enjoyed the shit out of the film, and I think got the same thing out of it that I would have gotten if it were a little eunuch or something. It's like, it's two kids.
One you got exactly the same kid. Out of it that you would have out of a film about a eunuch, because what you watched was a film about a eunuch.
But I didn't know that because it's a little girl, and so it didn't do to my brain what it was supposed to do, apparently, but it was fine.
But because of that, you're not allowed to just say that that's not what's going on in the movie.
except for the fact that the people who made the movie are saying that, except for a 2-second scene
not.
Where you
why
saw
would,
a thing.
Why would they be saying that? Why, like, this is infuriating.
You're like, not wrong.
Knowing this about the book, do you think that they did a terrible job of adapting the book? Do you think they did such a bad job of adapting the book that they got one of the characters' genders wrong on purpose?
No, I think that they changed it to a little girl for the movie because that makes a whole lot, you know, it doesn't matter that it's a eunuch at all, even a little bit, because not knowing that, I still was blown away by the film.
But that doesn't...
But they call her a girl. Zach, the people who made this movie
call
her a girl.
Because all of the characters in the movie think that it is a girl.
So it's a girl.
Yes, and it's a girl in the crying game. You should go fuck that girl because it's a girl. It's clearly a girl because all of
the
characters in the crying game think it's a girl.
Not all the characters in the, you know, the point of the crying game is that it's a dude. The point of Let the Right One In is that it's a vampire.
Okay, man.
And it all started because I don't think there's anything wrong with saying the little girl and Let the Right One In, unless
you're
going to catch shit.
There's nothing wrong with it unless you count inaccuracy as something wrong.
Oh, but and technically it's catchy.
So that hot black girl in the crying game.
That is not a technically. That is central to the plot of the film. This is
okay.
Not.
I will bet you that
99% of the people in the U.S. who saw Let the Right One In without reading the book would say it's about a little girl. Probably because the tagline for the movie, Boy and Little Girl Vampire, you know, in the cast list, Ellie, the little girl, played by a female actress. That's what makes it a catchy moment.
Well,
is that there is no reason to assume.
If 99% of the American public think something, it must be true.
Technically, it's pronounced catchy. We'll be back in a few. And we're back.
Man, I thought maybe you were so mad at me you were just going to play music for the whole rest of the show.
No, that wasn't. I think that was as long a break as I was planning on. Yeah, maybe it was one song too long. I was trying to put the kid to bed.
Put the kid to work in a salt mine?
Uh-huh. Or a coal mine.
A salt and battery mine?
Yeah, the salt is pretty easy to get out. The batteries are kind of a bitch.
Yeah, they're really hard to find batteries occurring naturally.
And if you touch them with your tongue, you get all tingly.
Yeah, like, and it's even more tingly if they're still in the living rock.
Yeah. The living rock.
Did I ever tell you about the dream that I had that we went on a school field trip to the bubblegum mines?
You did.
Yeah, that was a pretty good dream. That was really all there was to it. We just went down to where they mined bubblegum, chunks
awesome.
Of bubblegum right out of the rock. And it tasted delicious because it was unprocessed.
Hewn from the living rock.
Yeah, I think it was by dwarfs. By dwarfs! There's totally a dwarf in StarCraft 2. There's a guy who is kind of a short guy who works in the like engineering bay thing on your ship in between missions, and he's got like a dwarf beard and he talks like a dwarf and he fixes things.
Do all dwarves have to talk like John Rhys Davies now? Or do they?
All dwarves go to heaven.
Mm-hmm. But sheep, just dwarves and sheep in heaven then?
That's all there is, yeah. And you know, since most dwarves are Scottish, they enjoy having sex with a sheep.
Yep.
Yeah, apparently Idle Thumbs is going away again because Chris Remo got a job somewhere and is moving away from San Francisco.
And as we've demonstrated tonight, it's just impossible to do a podcast if you're not in the same state as the person you're doing it with.
Yeah, they all sort of believe that, like, they're constantly talking over each other. Anyway, and that the slowing down that occurs, which there is a little bit. I mean, part of what makes this work for us is that it's a lot of just monologues from me,
right,
on the radio. But you know, I don't know. It doesn't have to be bad. I think they could do it, and I wish that they would because they're fucking awesome. But you know, I can understand it's their deal, right? I mean, I can't be mad at them for the way in which they choose to yeah. live their lives. Unless they're gay, in which case I could be super mad at them.
Yeah, and raise their taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so sweet. I'm glad that you're really fond of gay vampire love stories.
They should make a like a Brokeback Mountain, only instead of cowboys, they're vampires. Or possibly cowboy vampires.
Right. Brokeback Mountain.
Don't go up to Brokeback Mountain after dark.
I wish I could quench your blood.
You know, that's the only line I remember from that movie.
Oh, yeah?
It was a good movie. I remember that.
I've never seen it.
There's the little guitar riff, and then that line, I wish I knew how to quit you.
Little guitar riff.
I just had a great picture of, like, pint-sized riff with a tiny guitar.
So just riff with a guitar. That's what you're
saying. No, an even smaller riff.
Even smaller, I see. Testu Donata says, why does the Scroll of Drastic Healing say it heals all my wounds when I only recover 100,000 hit points? Because you were never meant to have more than 100,000 hit points. It was like 640k of RAM. It should be enough for anybody. I remember back when 100,000 seemed like a really big number.
Good lord and butter. What level do you have to be to have 100,000?
I think Testu Donata is a buff bot.
All right.
But let's see. Who is Testu Donata? Testu Donata is level 186.
Yes, that would do it. Yeah, with some... You can also use some stat doubling things, I suppose.
Well... Hafforn3 says, thanks for a great game. Also, that inactive mail, pure awesome. You did an awesome job with that inactive mail, man.
Yeah. I was like, inactive mailman, get your ass off the couch. Deliver some mail.
Stupak2 writes, man, if you guys don't like insufferable pedantry, you should get the hell off the internet.
Insufferable Pedantry was a pretty weak sequel to Inglourious Bastards, I thought.
Yep.
It's a guy that...
I can't believe that you're calling me a catchy guy because I'm pointing out you being wrong about the gender of a character in a movie. That is, like, not a pronunciation issue. I'm a little offended. I'm a little offended by you comparing me to the it's catchy guy.
No, when I say that, what I use the catchy for is if there's no reason that any reasonable person would know that bit of information and you're bringing it up solely to kind of demonstrate your superior knowledge, then that's catchy moment. It's more about the attitude.
That's what makes me angry that you've suggested that I'm doing that just to demonstrate my superior knowledge. I mean, like, I guess accurate knowledge is superior to inaccurate knowledge.
See, the way you said it rankled me. What girl in Let the Right One In? It's like, how the fuck would I know that she's not a girl?
You mean because they, you know, that's what the movie's about?
That's not at all what the movie's about. She's a female character. I don't care if she has scars at her groin. She is a female character in a way that
you don't care about. That you don't care about the conversation where they have where she's all like, "Do you like me? Yes. Would you like me if I wasn't a girl?"
Because she's a vampire, not a girl.
I see.
She's trying to tell him that she's not human. Like, this is how the movie played for me, because that information is not in the movie, and I didn't read the book.
But that information is in the movie when you see the castration scar.
It didn't look like a castration scar. It looked like something that wasn't recognizable as genitalia. Yeah, it's like when you find out that Alan Rickman in Dogma is totally a castrati because his crotch doesn't look like people crotch when he shows it off. Yep. Sorry, female character, played by a female, voiced by another female. Female character. Don't care.
Okay. That's, you know, whatever, man. Like,
not about to take some shit for not knowing she's a boy because she's not in the movie. Sorry.
I'm not giving you shit for not knowing it. I'm saying that you're not allowed to claim that you're right just because you... Basically, what you're doing is claiming that you're right because you're wrong, which is like a fucked up thing, in my mind.
How does that work?
I mean, like, you're not allowed. You are not allowed to say that it's a female character because it is not a female character. Like, you of all people, I feel like, should respect authorial intent. Right? I mean, it's like, like fucking Brad Pitt and Edward Norton are two different characters, you know?
See, again, you're talking about things that are central to movies' plots, and that just was not. It was not, because I and everyone I know watched that movie and didn't pick up on that, and it was fine. That's not the twist. That's not Bruce Willis's death the whole time.
But I guess my issue here is you not picking up on it doesn't mean that it isn't there. I feel like you are accusing me of being an asshole because I know something about the movie that you don't know. And you're claiming that the fact that you don't know that it's true makes it not true, which is sort of ridiculous.
No, I'm talking about the fact that claiming an obscure piece of information in an attempt to make somebody feel less smart than you are is a catchy thing.
When have I ever done that to you? When have I ever said something with the express purpose of making you feel less smart? I said, you mean the boy, as a sort of like nod, like an in-joke, because I assumed that you knew what the actual plot of the movie was.
But that's not you had seen and liked. That's not the plot of the movie, that's the plot of the book. If they had kept the scenes in the movie that where that is spelled out, then sure.
But like the scene where they show
no, because you are that meant that to you because you already had read the book and knew that from the book.
I hadn't read the book. I was like, I looked it up afterwards. I read about the movie and the book,
like I just did.
And read the Wikipedia article. The Wikipedia article, which is extremely careful not to mention the character's gender.
Except like, it says in the article for the movie, in the book, this is a castrati. It's not explicitly stated in the movie. There's a scene where you see a scar, but that's it. Yeah. If I'm talking, and even so, if I'm talking about RuPaul in drag, I'm going to say she. Female actress, female character, female in all of the promotional things. In that movie, that's a girl. Sorry.
Okay, man.
We got to move on.
I mean, Bruce Willis is alive in the movie.
Which is central to the plot of The Sixth Sense and is not to the plot of Let the Right One In, because Let the Right One In is about a kid who falls in love with a vampire.
Okay, so things that aren't core to the plot are immune from interpretation, are immune from like anything that's not important to the plot, you can just say whatever the fuck you want and it's true.
If it's open for interpretation, yes.
That's not the same thing the movie's about, so it's entirely okay to just make up some crazy bullshit instead of actually knowing what's going on in the movie. Like, I
no, it's okay when something is pretty much explicitly laid out in a way to interpret it the way that it's laid out versus applying something from another version of the story into it so that you can be smarter than people. It's, yeah. We're not going to get anywhere with this. I was really trying not to jump back into it.
You know, I'm not actually... I'm not upset about this argument. I'm a little confused. I am a little... It chafes me a little bit that you think that I was doing that to be catchy guy. Because, like... all right. It doesn't feel like that. I mean, what this feels like is you just being wrong. And getting mad at me for being right, and like, oh well, you're just an asshole. So it's okay that I'm wrong and you're right. Yeah, hey, Frankenchrist says they did make a Brokeback Mountain vampire movie. It was called Interview with the Vampire.
Oh,
are those vampires gay?
That was a pretty explicitly. Well, there's this one scene where you see like a scar where one of them fucked the other one in the ass. But, you know, it only lasts for a couple of seconds. Actually, Tom Cruise in that movie is really a girl. If you had just read the novel, you would know that, dumbass.
I haven't read the novel.
Neither have I. I'm just messing with you. There's a scene where they show Tom Cruise and his vagina is clearly not a penis.
Actually, I mean, that's just because Tom Cruise is a hermaphrodite.
Yeah, I don't know anything.
They should have cast Jamie Lee Curtis as the vampire.
And they should cast Jamie Lee Curtis as everything.
Then maybe you would believe me.
She would make a good Hellboy.
Mr. Skullhead, my stupid nose is in open revolt against my face. I think I should cut it off.
That would kind of spite your face, though, and really, that's... Oh, well.
I took some nighttime Alka-Seltzer. Maybe that's what is causing these waves of unreality to wash over me, and I don't know. I had this horrible dream. I have this horrible dream that you were wrong about the gender of a character in a movie, and then just pretended not to be wrong, even after finding out that you were wrong.
No.
And yelled at me for being right.
Listen, I am totally right about the gender of that character in that movie. Absolutely and completely, by all available evidence, I am right. The movie is about a little boy who falls in love with a little girl. That is how the movie is sold. That is how the movie is described. That is what the movie is. In the book, the dude who cares for the little girl is also a pedophile. In the movie, that information is not given. You can say, oh, you mean the pedophile? But that's not on the screen. And neither was that dude's penis.
So you're saying, you are actually saying to me that the movie did not contain the information that that old man wanted to fuck the vampire.
We're just going to get deeper down the rabbit hole.
Like, do you believe in subtext as a concept?
Pantelimon says, could you please upload the Monday shows? I like them even more than the Thursday shows. Come on, Pantelimon, step up your game. Although it's close and I haven't heard Scully for too long. Yeah, I was traveling the entirety of July, so we didn't get to do any Monday shows, so there aren't any to upload. But we have this one, which is going to be in, like, 8 pieces and be mostly, Jick's nerd rage.
You didn't answer my question, Mr. Skullhead. Do you believe in subtext? are you catching the subtext of my question?
Do you believe that they put a man on the moon? I'm done rising to your bait.
Yeah. You've mastered it.
Casey Wiederman says, hey, Jake, why does the character pane reload every page load of Game Grid games? Nothing changes. Is that true?
It might be. Mm. Back in the day, I wrote it so, there are a number of things that happen that explicitly tell the character pane to reload, and, like, running a choice adventure might be one of them. I don't know. Let me look at the code for the choice script and see if it's just setting it in general. Wow, why can't I there's something wrong with my computer. No, there's nothing wrong. My keyboard is what I meant to say. Chris Moyer is always adding scripts that make it so the muscle memory that I, when I want to type the name, when I want to edit a script, I will type however many characters of it I need to type for tab to auto-complete it unambiguously. But then every once in a while he'll write a new script that has a name that breaks that, and so my muscle memory just totally fails me.
I should clear this up. The Judo Madonna says, I think you should dock Scully's pay until he finishes his arcade game. A lot of people are dicks, nothing you can do about it. I love Skullhead's contributions to the game, and I want to play his damn game, damn it, damn! I've done everything that I can with the game.
Yeah, his part is done. A lot. It's just a matter of messing with it. You know, we'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't want to get into the habit of spending a year working on every June item of the month. Because we've got whole other years to do stuff. iClub, you wrote, about the, I guess the Horda is the name of that thing that etches No Kill Eye in the floor in that episode of Star Trek with that thing.
The Horda.
Talking about putting a little lounge chair on a cart and it would be both comfy and appropriately sized. I don't know, man. I think it would be really uncomfortable to be inside a thing that was the actual size of that, and if it was much larger, it would be impossible to get around Comic-Con in it.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I like that idea.
I'm kind of amazed that people can navigate Comic-Con in, like, a wheelchair or a little scooter. But they do.
Yeah, I think
I'm amazed that we made it through with a stroller. I mean, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I'm amazed that I made it through when there were all these stroller assholes everywhere.
I'm still wondering what is going to happen with Comic-Con in the next couple of years.
Yeah,
like, when
I
you
mean,
have people
I...
camping outside of Hall H all night so that they can get into one single panel the next day, so something's got to give.
Yeah.
And if they could, unless they could expand the convention center in a year... Yeah, it would really suck to have to add construction to the problems that, that the movie's having.
Right. Well, the theoretically, they Comic-Con's you know having. I guess they could they have 2 years, right? Actually, they have 3 years.
I'm just talking about like if you start building an expansion to the hall, and then you don't finish it by Comic-Con, then on top of it being overcrowded, then you have things that are under construction.
Well, it depends on how you do it, right? Like if you you know. Like, let's say you were adding on to the hall, and you started not by knocking down the walls of the existing hall, but by building all of the parts of it that were leading up to that part, you know?
Right.
There's not really anywhere for them to go, is the thing. It's like they've got the street, and they've got the ocean.
There's, on the side, though, there's that big lawn that they had set up a bunch of tents there. So,
oh, is that where they had Tim and Eric Awesome Con Great Job?
I don't know.
I remember there being some kind of lawn where they had Awesome Con during Comic-Con. You know, like, it kind of seems like Comic-Con needs to die. It's, like, too big to fail. Like, I don't think that you can have a pop culture con.
Hmm.
Right? Like, I think it needs to fragment.
You think they need to... Huh.
Like, if you have a con that every nerd wants to go to, no space is big enough to hold every nerd. Right?
Presumably,
I mean,
though,
Star Trek conventions don't have this
it.
Problem.
Yeah. And presumably, you have a space that's big enough to hold every nerd who has the wherewithal to get there. You know? So it's only been
I mean,
in the
I just
past
don't know
couple
that there
years
is.
That
the problem with nerds
out.
Is that they have a lot of wherewithal, right?
Right.
And so, I don't know. You know, the fact that the tickets sell out so quickly, like, anything... This is what I'm talking about with, like, anything popular. You know, like, BlizzCon? BlizzCon was awesome and a lot of fun, and I was like, oh, I should totally go back to BlizzCon next year. But, like, the time to get tickets came and went... And it sells out within seconds of tickets going on sale.
Same thing with, like, the first Penny Arcade versus the, like, third Penny Arcade.
Yeah. You know, the first one was, like, what, 2,000 people there?
Yeah.
It was, like, nice and relaxing and fun, and we actually got to do stuff, and we could talk to people and play games and whatever, and, you know, get into the concert. And stuff like that. And then now it's just like wait in line con, just like everything else.
Mm.
And like, I don't fucking get it, man. Like, I would be pissed. I would be pissed if I had paid money to go to Comic-Con and then realized that 90% of your time at Comic-Con is just waiting in fucking lines.
Yeah. It's weird to remember that I used to go to a bunch of panels.
But. Yeah.
I don't know, like, what I was gonna say is, but I had a great time at Comic-Con, just kind of, you know, wandering the exhibit hall and looking at people and the weird stuff that they do and kind of soaking in that ambiance, but I don't know if I would if I was paying for my ticket and lodging, so I can't really say.
I mean, I had a good time at Comic-Con outside of the actual hours of Comic-Con, you know. I got to watch you get super high.
You got to watch a lot of people get super high.
I did get to watch a lot of people get super high. I got to watch a lot of people eat some pot cookies and then decide that there's no fucking way I'm eating one of those fucking things. Because, damn.
Yeah, it's not... For the gentleman who provided them, it's not your fault. It is our fault because we are old and lame. Yeah.
You know, seeing the, like, more proficient pot smokers in the group eat two or three of them a day for, like, a week gave everybody kind of a false sense of security.
Right.
About them, I think. And then, nope, turns out that for a person who doesn't smoke, you know, for a person who smokes weed, like, once every 6 months or once a year, one of those things is just going to fuck your shit all the way up.
Yeah. And sometimes back down the other side.
Yeah. Boy, I felt bad for the pretentious artist. He was just on a planet of fear and horror and vomit. He rode the vomit comet to planet horror. And he didn't get to go out to dinner with us. Because he was too high.
He was going to go to dinner, but then he got high.
Yeah, he had to stay at home and just eat everything. It was funny. When he was finally starting to calm down, he was like, ah, God. Because he hadn't eaten anything all day. Oh, and okay. And then he had thrown up after eating the cookie. And so then he was like, just sort of rummaging around the kitchen, just eating everything like you do when you're high. And he was like, yeah, you know, I was like super hungry and looking for snacks. And I was like, oh, sweet, some cookies. Just gonna start like an infinite cycle. Just feel like that for months.
And the last time a friend of ours had pot brownies, he was high for 3 days. That just doesn't seem like any kind of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, Keltrain says, hey, Woodstock was cool. No, and yes, it was very, very cool. And Keltrain's the guy who made it possible for us to attend it. We could have taken some standing room only seats, I suppose, but we weren't gonna. So, and the fact that we went there and had an amazing time is all on you, Keltrain. Thank you.
Yeah. Did he say that somewhere else?
In a private message to me.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking
about GigaShadow555 says, was Matt Fraction the comic book writer you saw at Woodstock? He's a really interesting writer, and I heard he did some cool speech at Woodstock. Yes, it was Matt Fraction. I knew it was a guy whose last name was also a word.
Right. I knew it was a guy whose last name probably wasn't the name he was born with.
Wait, you think?
It just seemed like one of those names, you know, like Zap Brannigan.
Huh. Oh, Matt Fritchman, better known by the pen name Matt Fraction. You're right.
Can't happen.
Huh. Eisner Award-winning comic book writer, but only has written, like, superhero comics.
That's kind of impressive, then, because it's hard to get recognized unless people best recognize.
Oh, he did a book with Ben Temple Smith. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, there's probably a lot of good superhero comics. You know, because I would have thought of, like, Swamp Thing as being like that, right? I would have said, nope, Swamp Thing, that's a comic I'm not interested in. But then the Alan Moore cycle of them is just fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Cycle. I can't believe I just said cycle. Maybe I am an asshole.
I don't think you're an asshole.
Excuse me.
I think you're a whole ass. Ho-ho. Hey. Reaching all the way back to, like, fourth grade for that one. So my wife was surprised for that insult. I may be an asshole, but you're a whole ass. My wife was surprised the first time that she stuck her tongue out at me. As a, you know, to kind of fuck you, and I said, no thanks, I use toilet paper. She had never heard that particular comeback and wasn't impressed with it.
Yeah, I've never heard it either, and I'm also not impressed with it.
And I had to explain, like, see, it's like I'm pretending that you were asking if you could lick my ass. Possibly eat the crap out of it. But still, she was unimpressed.
After that explanation, I can't imagine anybody not being swayed.
You know, like a suede, but still a little sad. So, you know, kind of blue suede.
Mm-hmm. That is a pretty Swayze argument.
Holy crap. My kid's been in bed for 40 minutes and he's still crying about that fact.
Nobody likes going to bed.
That's true.
ACM says, in response to your moans about drawing potion bottles, I think that a stopper can pretty easily be included if you think cork when you're imagining it. Then he drew a thing of a stoppered bottle. Of course, I think the idea of different vials for every potion is absurd and a little painful, so don't feel obligated. There are better things to worry about.
That also looked a whole lot like that looked kind of dongish, did that picture.
Does it?
Yep.
You think that looks dongish?
A little bit. It's got the balls at the base there.
Well, for a guy who can't tell when a fictional character is male, you sure do see a lot of dongs everywhere.
Yeah, it's a little bit hard for me trying to judge the gender of a character that is clearly coming across as female.
Maybe it's because you're constantly judging books by their covers.
That's true. Like, I saw this book that had an apple being held by two hands on the cover, and I was like, that's going to be a great book. But I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making
is that what Twilight has on the cover?
Making fun of Twilight is kind of like tripping a retard. It's just, it's easy, and it's a little bit funny, but you got to feel like you're
like
not really challenging
retard,
yourself. Yeah. Tripping the retard fantastic would be awesome.
Trip the retard Fandango.
Turn cartwheels around the floor.
There was so every time I hear that song, I think about, there was this weird video game that they had at the laundromat that we used to do laundry at, when we were renting a house that didn't have a washer and dryer. And I wish I could remember the name of it. I think it was like a name that didn't mean anything. Like, it wasn't like words. It was just like, you know, a proper noun.
Yeah.
Which I guess, pardon me, fuck, which I guess is a word, but it was like Breakout, only there was a caveman on top of the bricks walking around who would do stuff. It was like a cross between a Breakout game and then like a really ridiculously over elaborate video pinball game. And when you lost all of your guys, it would play Whiter Shade of Pale.
It would play like an 8-bit version of it, or
like a chiptunes Whiter Shade of Pale.
That's kind of cool.
Which they can't have licensed, you know. But like describing that, it's like a game that I had a dream about. It was just someone. They had weird fucking video games at that laundromat. They had. I think I might be confusing it with another laundromat, but there was a laundromat that I used to go to with my dad that had a Silkworm, which was like a game where you could be either a jeep or a helicopter, and it was like sort of like Choplifter or Moon Patrol, kind of, depending on which one of them you were.
Yeah, I remember that one. I remember Silkworm. I remember being disappointed it wasn't a silk spinning simulator.
Oh yeah, where you were actually a silkworm and you had to like manage the levels of different masses that you were squeezing out of things.
Yep.
Oh man, I feel another sneeze coming on again. And they also had like I think there was like a Macross game where you were on some kind of scooter and there were all these hexagons that you were trying to avoid.
Sure.
But that game was really hard, so it was never, like, I never wanted to put a quarter in it. I didn't like playing arcade games that were really hard, because you didn't get a lot of entertainment for your quarter. But the Breakout game with the weird fucking caveman, for no reason, was interesting.
Have you tried to find that game on the internet by searching, like, Breakout, Caveman, and Whiter Shade of Pale?
I don't know, weird Breakout arcade game, caveman. Yeah, I don't know, man. Probably searching for weird is going to fuck up my results there. Yeah. Anyway, this is boring. Let's get off the radio.
All right. Looks like Haplo is in the post-star spot. So, I mean, welcome back to the radio, Haplo. And we're sure that you will make us forget I Speculum in a couple of minutes. We'll be like, I who? Who Speculum? What Speculum?
Who?
Who? Who? Ha? Yeah. And we're back to generals. Good night, everybody.